This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with, see, this is new, much vexation, the vanity of self-indulgence, the vanity of living wisely, and the vanity of toil. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Jeremiah chapter 18. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. But they say, that is in vain. We will follow our own plans and will every one act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, poor sinners. Amen. Brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, it is always a matter of the heart. Because in a way, you could call these the best of times, these times when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah at the end of the reign of King Josiah. Just think about what King Josiah had done. He came in as a very young king. He was the grandson of Manasseh, and he defied the whole bit about the third and fourth generation, the curses that come upon people of unbelief. Remember Manasseh, of course. He ranks right up there with Ahab for his wickedness. In his 55-year reign, he overthrew every salutary reform of his own father, Hezekiah. The high places went back up, and he relaid the foundation of the altars of Baal. In the house that bore the Lord's name, he carved an Asherah pole and set up the worship of the whole Semitic pantheon. His own son he sacrificed, not like Abraham did to the Lord, but like a madman to the demon Molech. After 55 years, it's hard to imagine any vestige of faith in the hope of Israel, any hope in the one who was to come. Then the Lord raised up his grandson, Josiah. It might have started out as nothing more than a neutral enough deferred maintenance project, but the temple needed to be repaired. And as they were rummaging around in the dusty corners of the Lord's house, Hilkiah the priest ran across the book of the law, the Pentateuch of Moses. "I am the Lord, the God of your fathers," it said. "This is my name forever, and thus am I to be remembered throughout all your generations. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation," it said. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You will have no other gods before me. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me," it said. Hearing it, Josiah tore his clothes in repentance and said, "Great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book." And then in his reign, it was reform after reform. The temple now rid of Asherah and Baal and their accoutrements entirely burned. Cult prostitutes driven out of the temple and their little love nests ripped out. High places toppled and Molech's cult site destroyed. The sculpted horses left as offerings to Shemesh, who was the sun god, the Semitic Helios, torn from the temple entrance, and Helios's chariots burned. Ahaz's little shrine torn from the palace roof. Manasseh's altars from the temple grounds. He rid Solomon's high places for Phoenician Ashtoreth, Moabite Chemosh, Ammonite Milcom, and Canaanite Asherim, and Bethel of Jeroboam's abomination. He killed their priests, he destroyed their necromancers and mediums and soothsayers, and he cleansed every home of their household idols. He restored the Passover so that in the sight of every Judahite, a lamb might be slain, a preaching in deeds of the lamb who was to come bearing the sin of the world. And so that the promise of rescue past and promise of rescue to come might ring in their ears. "By a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery." And he established the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had found in the house of the Lord. The best of times. Third and fourth generation curse broken, at least for Josiah. The outward worship of idols in Judah completely gone, and the worship of the one true God restored. Now, outward forms are something, and we should highly prize them, but they aren't everything, far from it, because it's always a matter of the heart. And that precisely and clearly was the problem. Maybe not for Josiah, but surely for Judah and Jerusalem as a whole. Why else would the Lord have looked upon Judah from heaven now toward the end of Josiah's reign with all of those reforms in place, all that overturning of idols, all that return to the ways of Moses? Why else would the Lord have looked at all of that and then drug Jeremiah off to watch a potter throw unbaked pots on the floor in a clump and start all over and say, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done?" Best of times? Hardly. It was actually the worst of times. It was virtue masking unbelief. Not impiety, but piety. Because impiety, after all, is no mask for unbelief, but piety can be. And the point was simply this. The potter had aimed at one thing and gotten another, just as the Lord had sought faith in the heart and didn't find it. That, after all, is what the Lord meant by listening to my voice. He had rescued them from Egypt, preserved them from Assyria and now Babylon. Their ancestors had silenced his voice, tossing it like so much scrap off in some corner of the temple to make room for all their idols, but now the Lord himself had restored it. The book of the testimony of Moses, that was the potter's hands throwing a good pot. What more could have been done for his people than he had done to it? And yet when he looked for good grapes, he found none. And with disaster on the horizon, they called out, "This is in vain. We will follow our own plans and will, every one of us, act according to the stubbornness of his own heart." Beloved in the Lord, don't let that be you. Unbelief is its own disaster. It turns outward forms into saving virtues. Our confessions, in fact, warn against this when they reject this, that human ordinances and institutions in the church should be regarded in and of themselves as the worship of God or part of it. In Hezekiah's day, Nehushtan had to be destroyed because the pieties that mask unbelief are themselves unbelief. And if it could exist in the temple in Jerusalem in the heyday of Josiah, it can surely exist in the church, even at a seminary, even at this seminary. So hold your outward forms for what they are. They're outward forms. But examine yourself whether they've become a mask for your own unbelief. Chasubles and incense are fine, they're great. Divine service setting 3 is great. The 1-year lectionary is great. The 3-year lectionary is great. But the Lord doesn't need them from you. From you, he needs faith in the heart. So this Lent, paint the doorposts and lintel of your heart with the blood of the Lamb who was once slain, of the Lamb who bore the disaster that the Lord intended for you. For the potter hates nothing he has created. He will relent from disaster. In fact, he wishes to relent from disaster. May God grant you strength in your repentance and even more faith in his loving care for you, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
In our prayers, we give thanks with Riley and Danielle Corrigan at the birth of their daughter, Monica Ruth. We also give thanks with Lyle and Amanda Doster at the birth of their son, Philip Hezekiah. Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Merciful Father, you add to the generations of mankind. We thank you for the birth of Monica and Philip. By the gracious working of your Holy Spirit, help them to grow in your nurture and admonition, that they may bring glory to you and serve others in your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your government, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Almighty, bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.